Another film festival is taking place this weekend. Among the films being screened at the Ybor Festival, The Moving Image, is a documentary examining the fragile condition of the American newspaper industry. It's called Stop the Presses, The American Newspaper in Peril, and is co-directed and produced by Tampa native Manny Mendoza. The film will be shown Friday afternoon at 2 p.m. and 11 a.m. Saturday at the Hillsborough Community College Performing Arts Building in Ybor City. WMNF asked Mendoza today what led him to making this film.
Well, the newspaper industry has been having financial problems for a few years now, and the paper I worked at, the Dallas Morning News, had had a couple rounds of layoffs early in the 2000s. And then in 2006, you know, things were getting worse. In fact, it's 2008 and they're still getting worse. And they offered the entire newsroom, almost everybody, a buyout. They were looking for about 100 people to leave, and they predicted that, you know, things were going to get dire if not enough people took the buyout. So actually 112 people ended up taking the buyout, including myself. I just thought, you know, I'll look for other opportunities out there. I wasn't that worried about getting fired, or these are things I didn't have control over, but I thought, what else can I do? And I thought, you know, it'd be a good time at this point in my career to kind of examine other options. And shortly after I took the buyout, a friend of mine who's a filmmaker asked me if I wanted to make a documentary about what was going on in my industry. And I really probably should have thought about it more, but I just immediately said yes. And we started doing interviews with people who were taking the buyout at the Dallas Morning News, some people who were staying, and some other people in Dallas before we even had any funding. Then I actually came home to Tampa, where I'm from, for a while and spent time with my family. And in January, we found a backer, a man who owns a commercial production house in Dallas, and he decided to back us with money and the forces of his company. And we were off traveling the country interviewing journalists from really Washington and New York to L.A.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got some big people in there. David Carr of the New York Times, Ben Bradley of the Washington Post, Kurt Anderson of Studio 360, and a slew of editors and journalists that certainly maybe hardcore journalism fans would know, and some they probably wouldn't unless they're just really have no life and just know about newspapers. But it's great. You have Ann Hall, who wrote the great piece in the Washington Post that just won a Pulitzer Prize, with Dana Priest on the Walter Reed situation there in the medical hospital. And you highlight that part in the film that talk about what newspapers can do, the positive, you know, the product things that newspapers can do that no other radio can't do, television. We can do some great things in these mediums, but investigative reporting, it starts with the newspapers, and you go and you look at that story in particular.
Yeah, the newspapers, ironically, for the same reasons that they're having problems now, were able to get really big in the 60s and the 70s. The reason we got Watergate investigations and the Pentagon Papers investigation is because when newspapers went public, got into the stock market in the 60s and 70s, they were able to raise a lot of money. And they actually sank a lot of that money back into their newsrooms, hiring people. And that's why we got these really large newsrooms that in any given town, there are more journalists at whatever the daily newspaper is than all the other media in town combined. But Wall Street demands ever-increasing profits, and because newspapers are having financial problems now, they're just not able to keep their staffs at the size, and so we believe this role that they've traditionally had is threatened.
Indeed, and something that people around here probably know about, or listeners probably know about, of course, we had this week the Tampa Tribune offer up a package that didn't immediately ask for buyouts, but in 2 weeks they're basically going to. I guess apparently half their staff, over 600 people, got this deal. They want to take it or leave it right now. We'll see what's going to happen with that. It is scary. The Tribune itself is, and as of the St. Petersburg Times, a notable newspaper, is smaller in content basically right now. Speaking of the St. Pete Times, you go to the St. Pete Times, or you go to actually the Poynter Institute, which owns the Times, and in this discussion about newspapers, which people can read on certain websites and on American Journalism Review or Columbia Journalism Review, the Times is referred to often as perhaps a model for the future. Why is that?
Well, because a nonprofit doesn't have to have ever-increasing profits every year to demonstrate to Wall Street that it's a good investment. The St. Pete Times can decide 10% is good enough, or 8 or 12, and it doesn't have to go up every year. Now, there's no perfect model, and as many people as we talked to, nobody came up with a solution. I guess if they had one, they'd be out consulting rather than talking to us. And even the St. Pete Times has to make money, and with the economy as it is now, the St. Pete Times is having their own problems these days. So there's no perfect model. Another model that's out there, though, is kind of foundation funding, which is a form of nonprofit. There, for instance, are two California billionaires who have decided to fund this new project called, I'm drawing a blank now, ProPublica.
Yeah.
And it will basically hire 24 reporters, editors, and researchers to do heavy-duty investigative reporting. In fact, they have a very high bar for the kinds of stories they'll do. They're only going to do stories where there's a moral question at issue.
And they said, I think I saw this, it was an article in the New York Times Magazine about this, and they want to send them over to 60 Minutes. Or they'll, I mean, because the question is, I guess, is where are these stories going to be published at, is my question when I read about what they're doing.
Yeah, you would think they would do like other websites that are trying to do this kind of thing, and they would publish on their website. But instead, they're actually going to offer these for free to newspapers and other media. So that's an interesting. The other thing that's happened is there's been a big cutback in foreign reporting, and we're depending on fewer and fewer papers and fewer reporters in general to cover the world. There's a for-profit that has just announced called Global News Enterprises that is going to start in 2009, and they are going to dispatch a number of reporters around the world to do foreign reporting. I don't think they're quite as – I can't really tell if they're as well-funded as ProPublica, because these are reporters aren't going to be full-time. They aren't going to have, you know, high-paying jobs and have benefits and all that. But it sounds like there are some efforts out there. And, you know, it's a little bit scary, but I'm hopeful that maybe through a lot of smaller efforts that it'll all add up. There are websites like Talking Points Memo, The Huffington Post, Daily Kos, which are starting to try to do some of their own reporting. Right. And hopefully between that and maybe, you know, people who are making documentaries about the Iraq war and about other things going on in our country will fill the gap. But that traditional role that newspapers had is waning. And even though I spent a year and a half on this documentary, I really don't know what the answer is to be able to get newspapers to do the job they've always done.